Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Proverbs, chapter 24. We'll read verses 13 through 16 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 13 through 16. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Father, thank you for such a sweet spirit in our church, and that due to the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, please still our hearts. It's a busy, just a hectic pace week for many. Many heartaches, many burdens, many griefs. Lord, it seems like everywhere we turn, there's negative or bad news. And yet, you said we could find rest in you. The Holy Spirit of God, please work through our preacher today, fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, change our hearts, change our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I want you to get your Bible out again this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter number 24. It is the text verse that we used earlier. We're going to look again at verse number 16. Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 16, where the Bible says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Look back at me, but leave your Bible open there. Here the Bible says, "For a just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again." In that verse is such, it's so packed full of sermon, it's incredible. "A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again." I'm only reading a portion of verse number 16 there, but I want you to say it with me or read it with me. Verse number 16, ready? "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Let's do it again. Ready? "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Let's do it again. "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Read it again. "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Now, I want us to together to say only the last portion of that phrase where it says, "and riseth up again." Ready? Say it. "And riseth up again." Say it again. "And riseth up again." Say it again. "And riseth up again." Now you listen to me, folks. God wants us to rise up again. God wants us to rise up again. There's somebody in here, you need to make that verse there your life verse. Somebody needs to decide from now on, Proverbs 24:16 will be my life's verse. I will always remember, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." I'll never forget learning to play hockey and to ice skate. Folks from Canada, this is where you come in. Anybody that lives in Canada knows there's hockey, and then there are other things they call sports. Anybody from Canada that has all their teeth are not real hockey fans. So you go back here and see these folks. They all have total set of false teeth in their mouth. Brother Owens, give me that hockey stick, if you will. I was about 11 or 12 years of age. I grew up in Indiana, where it gets cold and icy and snowy. Winter starts just about in September and finishes up just about June. But I had some friends say to me one day, they said to me, they said, "Jeff, let's go play some ice hockey." Well, now, I have a hockey stick here that I brought with me this morning. Remember, growing up in central Indiana, we played basketball and football. We didn't play a lot of ice hockey. So I had never played ice hockey before. I'd never really done much ice skating before. And let me say to you, I would not advise that you ever try to learn both of those at the same time. But because my friend said, let's go play ice hockey, it was a cold winter day, and actually, we planned it at the beginning of the week. We're going to go play hockey at the end of the week, which gave me plenty of time to figure the thing out. And so I decided, sure, I'll play hockey with you. How much can there be to it? Can't be that complicated. I've seen it before. You take a stick and you beat on each other. Well, again, by the time the end of the week got here, somebody had told me, they said, see, I was not an ice skater, hardly ever been on the ice. Someone suggested that I get these double blades on my skates because I was a beginner. Well, I don't need a beginner. I'm not wearing training wheels in front of all my friends. So I said, I'm not going to do it. I got a single blade, and I got me an ice hockey stick. And I showed up at the pond, and it wasn't prepared in advance. And we took a shovel and got some snow off of it, and there was the ice, and there I was. And a guy asked me, he said, Owens, you know, when you're growing up, you call each other by the last name. That's a man thing, I suppose. Owens, you don't mind being checked, do you? I thought, I didn't know what checked was, but I thought that was kind of a dumb question. I can handle being checked. You check anything on me you want. I got my skates. I've got my gloves. I've got my stick. Go ahead and check and see if I'm ready. Well, now I'm sitting there on the ground. I've got my skates on. But I had not been on skates enough to really know what I was doing, and I hated it. They picked up teams, and I was the last guy to be picked. Yeah, you always kind of hate that. You say, well, Brother Owens, what about that Bible verse? They save the best for last. Well, I wasn't convinced. Well, I was the last one picked for the hockey team. We got out there, and it was so humiliating. It was pathetic. It was an icy winter morning. We got started in the game, and being the last one picked, I thought maybe if I could just stand still for a little while, I would adjust to what was about to happen around me. I was standing there minding my own business. A guy came up and knocked me flat off of my feet onto my other thing. I said, hey, what was that? He said, I just checked you. I said, what are you doing? Checking to see if I'm made of rubber and I bounce? Now, here's the good thing about it. The only thing I had going for me in the morning is, early in life, my dad was a boxer. My dad boxed Golden Gloves and was a spar partner for a heavyweight boxer in Ohio. And my dad, when we were young, my dad taught me to box. And there was one thing that my dad trained me to do early in life. He trained me to get up. I needed the training on this ice hockey day. Dad always insisted, if you get knocked down, get back up as quick as you can. The hockey game was a day of great personal humiliation to me. I remember it well. I felt like a human Zamboni. That's not a sandwich, so you know. I was on my backside more than I was on my feet. But one thing stuck in my mind every time I fell down. Now, there didn't have to be anybody around me. I was able to check myself. I'll tell you what, I'd take two steps and fall and take two steps and fall. And I mean, as embarrassing as all get out. I mean, one minute my legs would be together, the next minute I'd be like this, twisting and turning. But you know, one thing about the day that I had to insist upon in regard to myself, to get up. I had to get up. That's exactly what Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 16 is teaching you and I. The Bible is teaching us that a just man falleth seven times, but he will get up seven times. See, a good man has as many get-ups as he has knockdowns. A just man won't be kept down. Somebody here this morning, you need to just get up. Just get up. You can't keep a good man down. Somebody here has stayed down too long, and you've become way too cold. You see, I learned something about when I was down. It was extra cold. The more of me that was laying on the ice, the more of me became cold. And I didn't want that part of me to be cold. And so I had to get up. And I'm going to tell you, there are people in this auditorium, you went down and you stayed down, and you have become cold on God. He said, but I went down for a good reason. Okay, but you're supposed to get back up. Get back up. Somebody stayed down too long. Hey, life can be slippery. It can be as slippery as ice. Get up. Get up. Has life checked you and you're down? Get up. To succeed in life, you just need to have one more get up than you had knocked down. A just man follows every fall down with a get up. You now, where are you right now? Are you down or are you up? And let me say, you say, well, I'm up right now. Do I need this sermon? Yes, you do, because you'll go down again. The human race stumbles and we fall repetitively. And so you might be here today and say, well, I don't need this. I'm on top side. You will go down again. You will, and so will I. So those of you that say, well, I don't really need a sermon like this right now, you better tuck it in the memory banks of your brain. You will need it again. But all over the sound of my voice today, there are people that are down, and it's time for you to get up. Get up, Christian. Get up. Don't you stay down. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. I called a sermon this morning, get up. Get up. Just get up. For instance, number one, get up from knocking yourself down.
Yes.
From knocking yourself down. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye did not obey the truth? Now, notice in that verse it says, ye, you, and ye. I've got a hunch that maybe, look right at me here, I've got a hunch that because there is virtually a reference to you three times in that one verse, says, who did hinder you? The one that hinders me the most is usually me. Me. I can be my own worst enemy. Are you down because of you? Have you failed? Have you experienced some failure in life, Christian? Folks, listen, nobody succeeds all the time. Nobody does. Failure comes into our life. What do we need to do? Get up. Get up. Let's say that during our spring attendance building campaign, you tried to break a barrier, but you didn't make it. Could I recommend something to you? Could I recommend that you just get up? You say, well, Brother Owens, I wanted to have my name put on one of those barriers out there, and I didn't make it, and today's the last day, and I didn't make it. Listen, you just get right back up. There'll be another day. Everybody here has failed at one time or another, not meeting a goal that they set, but don't stay down. There are times when I walk away from the pulpit feeling like, in my preaching, I have laid a royal egg. You say, preacher, we know of those times. But can I tell you something? I've discovered about myself, if I preach just what I think is a terrible sermon, I walk away saying, I don't know where that came from. I don't think I helped anybody. What a mess I made of that church service. Usually, a sermon or two thereafter, we've got a humdinger. You say, why? If I stumbled and I went back down, there's one thing I've learned to do. Get up. Get up. I could come back. I'll hit that thing again. I'm not going to stay down. We all experience some failure. What have you attempted to do and it went sour on you? You say, but what should I do? Get up. Get up, Christian. Get up. Hey, businessman. Get up. You say, the economy's tough right now. Get up. Get up. Get your drive about you. You say, it's tough to get business right now. Okay, then you do the tough thing. Get up. Get up, businessman. Get up and make another go of it. Get up and try again. Hey, you say, well, I've got the duty of sales. Get up and go get the sales mate then. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up. You see, all of us experience some failure in life. What do we have to do? Get up, because a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Hey, student in school, you say, boy, my grades are tough. I'm going to flunk this class, or I'm going to flunk that class. What do I do? Now, I know this. At Martinsburg Christian Academy, you've got about an eight-week period left in school. You say, what am I going to do? I'm failing a class. Get up, student. You don't throw in the towel when there are 8 weeks left. You get up. You say, well, it would take me. I'd have to get B's in that class all the last 8 or 9 weeks and get B's or A's in that class all the last 9 weeks. Get up.
don't lay down and play dead. Get up. Get up. Get up. You say, but Brother Owens, it's math. Get up. You say, but it's English. Get up. You say, but it's science. Get up. Get up. Don't give up. Say, what am I going to do? Give 110% of you and pass that class. Pass it. Boy, I'll tell you what. This generation of mamby-pamby, put your tail between your legs, run, quit early, give up because it's hard. Christianity makes me sick at my stomach. You get up and get going. You can do that. If everybody else can pass the class, I think there's somehow for you to do it too. You get to that teacher and you say, what can I do? And hey, turn your stupid computer game off and study your books for a little while. Get up! Get up, Christian. It's your duty. Get up, teenager. It's your duty. Hey, let your failure motivate you to do what? Get up. Get up. That Old Testament saint named Jacob. Do you realize his name would change to Israel, or his name was changed to Prince of God after his awful failure? He did great work after his failure. What happened? Jacob got up. After he had failed and stayed away from God for years, he got up. Did you know that Jonah preached his great sermon and revival in Nineveh after his failure? After Jonah had ran from God, after Jonah had put his tail between his legs and ran away and denied God, you know that one day Jonah said, I've got to get up. I've got to get up. And he did. And he preached a great sermon that turned a whole city, thousands of people back to God. At the 1968 Olympics, an hour after the marathon winners crossed the finish line, Tenanzia's John Stephan Aquardi limped across the finish line injured in a fall earlier in the race. He was asked why he didn't quit. He said this, my country did not send me 7,000 miles to start this race. My country sent me 7,000 miles to finish this race. In other words, here's a man that was running in a marathon. He took a spill. He got injured. Everybody else finished the race and had been back across the finish line for 1 hour. This man hobbled along. He finished the race and they said, why in the world did you do that? He said, I didn't come to start. I came to finish. Some of you need to get some finish down inside you. Some of you need to decide. You say, but I'm hurt. And you play hurt. Get up. Get up, Christian. Get up. Do you realize that some of the greatest baseball players in history were also the strikeout leaders? I was looking at some baseball statistics in the book of John this week. Do you know, I looked up some stats on career strikeout record holders. Did you know that Reggie Jackson is a strikeout leader of the world? 2,597 strikeouts, but have you ever heard the name Reggie Jackson? Evidently, he got up. Did you know that Sammy Sosa is in second place? 2,306 strikeouts. Evidently, Sosa had some get up in him, huh? Jose Canseco. Any of you ever heard of Jose Canseco? He is number 5 on the list for strikeouts. 1,942. Willie Stargell. 1,936 strikeouts. He's number 6 on the list. I looked at the top 10 strikeout leaders in the history of baseball. Mike Schmidt, 1,883 strikeouts. He's number 7. Evidently, you can strike out and still do something great. Evidently, you can strike out and still accomplish something great. Evidently, you can take a swing and miss the ball, but you're going to get up to bat again someday. Evidently, you can drop the ball, but you can pick it back up and you can run across the finish line. Listen to me, Christian. Get up! Get up, you say, but I failed. So have the rest of us. The only difference between you and somebody that succeeded is when they fail, hey, when they failed, they got up. When you failed, you stayed down. Get up! You say it hurts, get up while it hurts. You say it's hard, get up. Get up. You see, we can knock ourselves down. Hey, somebody here needs to get up from being knocked down by somebody else. You got knocked down by somebody else. Romans 14, verse 13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way." Some people become stumbling blocks to other people. Now, when I was playing ice hockey that day, the first person that knocked me off my feet was not me. Now, I knocked me off my feet enough to know that I was responsible for me being down some. But when that fellow walked up to me and checked me, he put me down. Now, I could have said, all right, now when I knock myself down, that's one thing. But that guy knocked me down. I could have laid there and whined like a little baby. But I knew I needed to get up. Whether I knocked me down or whether he knocked me down was not the place for the Christian to be. Up was the place. And let me tell you this. Nobody in this building should be a stumbling block to somebody else. Some of you need to clean up your life and live right because somebody's watching you and you're going to knock somebody else down by your testimony or your behavior. Hey, has somebody knocked you down? Get up. Get up. Your mate walked out on you, but you didn't want it that way. So what am I going to do? Get up. You say, I was forsaken and I didn't want it that way and I want to salvage my marriage. Get up. And let me remind all you Pharisees. You look at somebody whose mate has left them. And you say, that never happened to me. You know, sometimes somebody didn't want it to happen and somebody else did their bad deed and it wasn't the individual you're looking at. And let me say to everybody here, you get up. You just get up. So you got laid off from a job that you really wanted to keep. You say, what am I going to do, Brother Owens? Get up. You just get up. Somebody has attacked your integrity. So what do? Get up. Just hey, you know what you do if somebody attacks your integrity? Prove them wrong. Live it down. Live it down by not your words, but by the testimony of your life. It's evil when somebody attacks, but you just get up. Maybe somebody has stolen from you, and it's hurt your credit. You say, what am I going to do? Get up. Get up. Don't stay down. Most any credit record could be cleaned up and fixed. So what do I do? Get up. Get up. Get up, Christian. Somebody walked on you on their journey to the top of the ladder, which to me is very sad. If the only way you can get up the ladder is to walk on a bunch of other people, you're not the hot rod you think you are. You got to take somebody down for you to get up. You're little. You won't last for long. You're playing the devil's game and he'll beat the snot out of you sooner or later. I don't believe on walking on other people on my journey toward the top, and everybody ought to be striving to go toward the top in some arena of life, but it's not at the expense of everybody else. But you say, somebody walked on me. Somebody hurt me on their way up. What am I going to do? Get up. You just get up. Get up. Hey, I think as I travel, I come across pastors. Often a pastor will say to me, Brother Owens, what do? I hired a man and I trusted him to work for me. The people of my church didn't even know him. And I hired him and brought him and I told my people to love him and I told my people to be loyal to him and they did. And now he had the hearts of the people and he became disloyal and he split my church and he went up the road and started a church. He said, what am I going to do? And let me say this to any assistant pastor in adult Sunday school class that would be that low, to be entrusted with a group of people in their hearts by the pastor and then turn on him and take that very trust that was given to you and abuse it. That's low down, good for nothing. That's criminal. But I go across the country and I say to pastors, they say, what do? My heart's broken. My church is wounded. I always say, get up. Just get up, preacher. Just get up. You get up. You can make it. You can take it. Get up. Others come along and hurt us. Others come along and they knock us down. We've got to get up. Someone turned on you and knocked the wind out of your sails. You say, what do I do, Brother Owens? Get up. Someone has slandered you and it knocked you off your spiritual feet. You say, what am I going to do? Get up. Someone has embarrassed you. What am I going to do? Get up. Someone has tried to destroy you. What am I going to do? Get up. Hey, did someone lure you into wrong? Said, Lord, I didn't see it coming. I went down to the church and I met this woman and I thought she was going to be decent and I've already done wrong with her. What do I do? You get up. And I tell you what, you put a stop to it right this second. Teenagers, you say, I was with this girl, I was with this fella, they seemed to be good Christians, and before I knew it, they had me doing things that I never dreamed that I'd do. I got lured aside. What do? You get up. And when you get up, take your stand and say, I thought better of you. I've got to separate from you. But get up. You see, I could knock me down. You could knock me down. What's the answer? Get up. Just get up. Thirdly, what do you do? What do you do? Hey, have you been knocked down by the devil and the sin of life? Has sin knocked you down? Has old smutty face caused you to do something you shouldn't ought to have done? You take the story of the prodigal son. Well, let me read one verse to you. It's a very famous story. Luke 15, verse 18, the Bible says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now here's the story. The prodigal son got away from daddy, got away from God. He comes to his dad, he says, Dad, I'm leaving. He walked out of the house. He walked away from mom, walked away from dad, walked away from the will of God. Snotty, arrogant, self-confident young man that thought he had the world by the tail. Didn't take him too long. He got into a distant country and found out life's not as easy as what he thought. Before long, he was backslidden and he's wasting all of his money and he's sitting in a pig pen. And young people, you look at your preacher. I love you and you know that. But there are a couple of you. You're heading for the pig pen. Most people that are going to visit the pig pen, they don't even realize they're heading for the pig pen. You have no idea. You say, I want to be free. You're getting ready to head headlong into the hog trough of the world, and it'll take you for everything you're worth. It'll keep you longer than you plan to stay, take you deeper than you want to go. It'll steal from you more than you want to give up. The devil's a liar, and the world is a liar, and it'll destroy you. And I'm telling you, there are a few of you, you're heading for the pig pen. And he headed out, didn't even realize he was heading straight for the pig pen. He ends up in the pig pen. He lost everything. Probably lost his health, lost his money, lost his dignity, lost his purity. He lost everything. He sat there in the pig pen. And you know what the Bible says? Bible says this. He comes to himself, and this is what he says to himself. I will arise and go to my father. You say, what is that? He said, I'm going to get up. He said, I'm going to get up. He looked around. He was eating what the pigs eat. He looked like the pigs look. He smelled like the pigs smell. He was acting like the pigs act. And he said to himself, he said, I've got to get up. I'm going to get up. There's somebody here this morning. Sin has entered the picture. Now you're sinning against your God and sinning against your testimony and sinning against your church. You're sinning. You know, and you know what you need to do? You need to come to yourself and say, you know what? I will arise. I'm going to get up. Has the devil got you off track in regard to your church attendance? Some of you used to be very faithful to church. Now you're not faithful anymore. You used to be in Sunday school every time we had Sunday school, but not anymore. You used to be here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, but not anymore. How far back have you gone? And what is your excuse for it? Are you down? Say, what should I do? Get up. Get up. Get up. Can I tell you something? Sometimes when we get to talking about this term backslidden, you seem to think that, well, you know, I'm not out doing heroin and drinking a case of Budweiser a day. I'm not out whore hopping all night long, and I'm in pretty good shape. The question is not, are you doing all those things? Are you away from where you could be and should be for God? If you think that's all backslidden is, you are probably backslidden. No, there's more to it than that. You used to read your Bible. You don't anymore. You used to go soul winning, and you don't anymore. You used to give of the funds that God's given you, and you don't anymore. You used to shut your ears off to the gossip. You don't anymore. You are backslidden. Don't get the idea that backslidden means that you're already living down at the hog trough. You just may be on your way to the hog trough. Hey, have you gone back to the bottle? Somebody in here, you got saved. God helped you to get victory over the liquor. Have you knocked yourself down? So what do I do, Brother Owens? Get up! Get up! Somebody here, have you returned to your drugs? God saved you. God planted your feet on a rock and you began to have victory and you did away with it and you got away from the old crowd, the music the old crowd listened to. And recently you made a mistake and now you're going backwards and you have fallen down your back in the whole trough of the world and the drugs of the world. You say, what am I going to do, Brother Owen? Get up! Get up, Christian! God had helped you get away from those cigarettes and now you're back. Get up! Get up! Have you slipped back into that life of immorality? I committed adultery, Brother Owens, and it was wrong and I knew it and I promised God I'd never go back there again. Where are you at right now? If you're committing adultery, stop it now. Get up. The fornication, stop it now. Let me tell you something, young people and adults, got to keep your hands off of each other if you're not married. A parent very foolishly said to me one day, as long as they don't commit that final act, it's okay with me. So you parents know your kids are probably doing everything but the final act right now as we speak. I drew the line a long way away from the final act. And justify it because you didn't go all the way. It's quiet in here because people don't preach like this anymore. You've fallen into the fornication. You've fallen into the adultery. You've fallen into the pornography. So what do I do, Brother Owen? Get up! Get up, young man. Get up, young lady. Get up, Christian. Psalm 51, verse number 2 says, wash me truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know that verse right there was written by David? That's a get up verse. That's a get up verse. David had committed terrible sins and he said, God, I'm going to fix it. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. David knew that his misbehavior had cost him something. He was down. He was depressed. He was away from God. And David one day wakes up and he says, you know what? I've only got one choice. I either get up or I stay down. Let me tell all of you something. You think you're as low as you can go, but you're not. As long as you're alive, you can get worse. Just like those of you that are close to God, you're not as far as you can go getting close to God. You've got a long way to go. You've experienced all the joy of the power of God and the change of life and what God can do with you. As long as you're alive, you can go deeper and it can get worse. So hey, Christian that has fallen into sin, get up. Get up. Get up. Have you allowed your tongue to become critical? Have you let that animal out of its cage? You say, what do I do? Get up. Shut your mouth. Get up. Have you allowed your temper to get the best of you? Have you fallen to your own rage? You say, what do I do? Get up. Get up. Have you let pride puff you up and embarrass you? Has your pride knocked you off of your spiritual feet? You say, what do I do? You get up. You get that, you get that pride in check. You know that David wrote the 23rd Psalm after he committed all of his awful sins? What happened? He got up. He got up. Peter preached Pentecost after his sin of denying Christ. What did he do? He got up. Do you know that John Mark wrote the book of Mark after he had been a quitter on a first missionary journey? What did he do? He got up. He got up. Oh, let me explain. I in my own failure could knock me down, but I need to get up. Somebody else could come along and knock me down. What do I need to do? Get up. Sin knocks us down, folks. What do? Get up. Let me say number 4. Get up from being knocked down by the burdens of life. Psalm chapter 55, verse number 22 teaches us about this. The burdens of life come upon us all. When you get knocked down by a burden, something that's heavy, you say, what do I do, Brother Owens? Get up. Get up. Psalm 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let me tell you something. God can help you get up no matter how much pressure you're under. And you say, I went to a lot of people to get help, and I just couldn't get the help I needed. Get to God. He will give you the help, and there's no excuse. The only excuse for you not getting up is that you don't use the strength God's already given you. You could blame me, I could blame you, but let gets right down to the bottom line. You and God make a majority, and if you want to get up, you can get up because God will help you to get up. If you say, I just didn't get enough help from the church, you can get enough help from God to get up on your own. Get up, Christian. Get up, Christian. Get up, Christian. Don't you lay there on the ice and let your heart get cold and nasty and blame everybody else. Get up. Get up. Burdens come. I love the story of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 24, get this. Ezekiel had a gal that he married. She was the love of his life. He depended on her and she depended on him. Wedding just like everybody else had. A baby, probably a baby shower and wedding showers. And they had the wedding pictures, the whole nine yards. The Bible says one day Ezekiel's wife died. Listen to this verse. Ezekiel 24, verse number 18. It says, so I spake unto the people in the morning. At evening, my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. You understand what happened? Ezekiel's wife died Saturday night before church. Sunday morning, Ezekiel walked into the pulpit. He said, I'm here to do what you called me to do, God. You understand what that just said? In the evening, my wife died. And in the morning, I got up and I said, God, I will not let that heartache stop me from doing what you have commanded me to do. So you Christians, it takes so little to stop you. You're so pleased with your excuses. So justified. His wife died. And the next morning he said, it's preaching time. Was he happy in the pulpit? I doubt it. Was it easy? I doubt it. Was he sick in his stomach? I would expect so. What'd he do? His job. For God. Without excuse. Now let me tell you something. You let your burdens knock you out long enough, you become cold and useless. And actually, you have multiplied your own burden. Keeping after what God has given you to do will help you to bear your burden. Staying busy. If all you do is think about your burden, you will multiply it in your own mind. Matter of fact, Job said in Job 7:20, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? What hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? You got a burden, you want to just stare at it? Maybe we could all stare at it with you. Maybe we could all take the time to tell you how bad it really is. You know what you need to do? Get up! Get up, Christian! Get up! Get up! You say it hurts? Tell that to Ezekiel.
Right. Yeah.
Tell it to Jesus.
Yeah.
Have you ever died? I am glad he did not lay in the grave and say, oh, I can't get up to go to church this morning. You expected better out of him, didn't you? They beat him to death! And he got up. Get up. Get up, Christian. Get up when you get knocked down. Hey, what heartache has knocked you down? You know what? It's get up time. Every section of this auditorium, there ought to be people in a little while when we start the invitation. You get up out of your seat. You get up out of your comfort zone. You come down here, get on your face and say, God, today's the day I'm getting up. I'm not staying down. Has your child's rebellion broken your heart and knocked you down? So what am I going to do? I'm hurt. I'm embarrassed. Let me tell you what you do. Get up. Get up. Get up. Dear friend of mine, assistant pastor's wife, actually, Mrs. Owens and I known this gal for years. She was shopping at Christmas time.
a mall that is a 2 or 3 story mall with an escalator. She had packages in both arms, had them in a couple great big old bags. She started to go up the escalator. She tripped and fell, tore open both bags of packages. And they very systematically placed themselves on the steps of the escalator, and package after package was heading up to floor number 2 while she was lying on the ground at floor number 1. She took a step, tripped over a package, ran her nylons, you know, the whole 9 yards. She's lying at the bottom of the steps watching her packages go up. The people that are coming down the other side of the escalator, they're kind of laughing and kind of wandering, and now a crowd has drawn. There are people at the top looking at this lady. Remember, this is a dignified pastor's wife. She's lying at the bottom, all of her packages, package after package after package is going to the top. All the way at the top of the escalator was a little old gray-haired lady. She looked up, and the little old lady said, "Come to me, sweetheart. Come. Come on. You can make it." She said, "I looked up. I was so humiliated." She said, "People coming down an escalator. My package is going up. Now there's a line of people waiting for this dumb preacher's wife to get up off the floor and go up the escalator. People at the top are up there looking down." She said, "What am I going to do?" The little old lady said, "Come on, baby. Come on. Come on up. You can make it." She said, "I crawled. I started crawling. When I got to the top, I put my packages in my arms and I walked off." And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you would have ran off. I've got news for you. The victory is when you pick yourself up and you climb to the top. And it's not a little old lady at the top of the escalator. It's Jesus Christ saying, "You get up and you get going again. Don't you stay down. Don't you stay down." Boys, you get in that baseball league this summer and you strike out, let it be good for you. You turn around, you go home and you practice and you step up to the base again and take another swing at that ball. Get up. Get up. Has your mate forsaken you? Get up. Has your life knocked you down? Get up. The Bible says, "They that sow in tears," what's that? Getting knocked down. "Shall reap in joy." What's that? Getting up. Getting up. It's get up time. A just man may fall 7 times, but for every time he falls down, he's got to get up. Has a health problem knocked you down? Get up. I shook hands with Mrs. Betty Davis earlier this morning, and I told her, I said, "I am just delighted to see you." Why? To be honest, Mrs. Davis, I don't want to hurt your feelings. She should be dead. Do you have any idea what she went through? I watched her walk in here as she climbed back up the ladder, and she did what had to be done to be healthy again. And I'll tell you something, a lot of strength in that little package right back there. It goes to show you, dynamite comes in little packages. Get up! You say, "Brother Owens, there are some things because of my health I can't do." I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about what you can do that you don't do. Get up! Miss Gillum, thanks for getting up. Good night. We're going to have to name a cancer after her or something. She just gets up, doesn't she, Brother Gillum? Kind of humiliating. But you tough women, knock it off. Get up!
Yeah.
Brother Bajent? Stay up, my friend. Fight. Kick. Scratch. Don't let it take you down. Let it be said that if it did take you down, it wasn't an easy fight. Get up! Brother Kleptach is not well. He'll hear this sermon. Get up, Brother Kleptach. Stay up there, Brother Spielus. Stay up, Brother Nash. There are people that have mental issues. Get up. Stay up, Mrs. Berman. Stay up, those saints of God, where life and pain and sickness has wrapped your body. Stay up. Don't you give up now. Don't you roll over and play dead. There was a day when the multimillionaire Christian man by the name of Dr. Russell Anderson lost it all. His businesses were broke. And today, he's given over $30 million to the cause of Christ. Why? When he got down, he got up. There's some coal miners who have lost 29 deaths in southern West Virginia. So, Brother Owens, what's your recommendation to them, that community, and those families, no matter how hard it is? Get up. Get up. Get up. There's a little boy playing baseball. He's out in center field. Center field, there was a sidewalk that was actually the fence. You know, when you play pickup baseball, you don't have all the good stuff. You know, use cardboard boxes and stuff, pieces of cardboard for bases, and you just make do. Well, if you hit it far enough, if you hit it over the sidewalk, it was a home run. Little boy sitting out, he was actually standing in center field, waiting as center fielder for the ball to be hit. The gentleman was walking by. The gentleman said to the little boy, "Hey, son, how's the ball game going?" The boy said, "It's going good." Man said, "You enjoying yourself?" The boy said, "We're having a good time." The man said, "What's the score?" Little boy said, 100-0. The boy said, the man said, "Oh, I bet you're excited about being ahead." The boy said, "We ain't ahead, mister." The man said, "Do you mean they've got 100 and you're the nothing?" The boy said, "Yeah, 100-0. The man said, "Son, do you realize?" The little boy said, "What, mister? Do you realize we just ain't got our bats yet?" You say, "Preacher, I feel like it's 100-0, and I feel like that the devil's got me down, and he's got the 100. Let me tell you something, Christian, you just ain't got your bat yet. You're going to get up to bat, but you got to step up to the plate. Get up. Get up. You have a financial burden? Get up. We've all been there at one time or another. Too much month at the end of the money. So what do? Get up. Let me say this and I'm finished. If you're unsaved, get down. I'm not talking about this kind of get down. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You need to knock yourself down, because the Bible says in James 4:10, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." You can't save yourself. Let me remind you, the Bible says a just man falleth seven times. A couple different kinds of just men. One of the justifications is a salvation justification. You need to be born again. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You say, "Well, what's the big deal about that?" Well, let me explain something to you. You need to understand you can't save yourself. In other words, you need to humble yourself and say, "I'm a sinner and I'm a bad sinner and I need a great God to save me." Before God will lift you up, you need to put yourself down. You need to let the guilt of your sin rest upon your shoulders and realize you are a sinner, you're a bad sinner, and you need to be born again. If you will humble yourself and admit you're a sinner, God can save you. The minute He saves you, He'll get you started on your journey up the ladder. If you won't humble yourself that little bit, you'll go down even deeper, because you'll die and go to hell someday. Get up, sinner. Listen, only Jesus can lift you out of your lost condition. Not you, not a baptistry, not giving your money. Say, "Brother Owens, I gave today double tithe Sunday. I was trying to buy my way to heaven." You can't buy your way to heaven. Right. It was purchased by another in full, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that had the checkbook to get the job done. You need to fall down in humility to get saved and then rise up into a Christian life. That's the only way you can do it. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, need to get born again. You say, "Well, what will I do? What you'll do is, in a minute we're going to have a thing called an altar call. When we have it, the men that are on the platform eventually will step down and they'll push themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you're not saved, we'll invite you to come and we'll take a Bible and someone will kneel with you and show you how to be born again. You've got to go down to get saved so you can go up to heaven someday.
You say, well, I don't know if I want to walk. You mean walk from where I am in front of all those people? Oh, you're not willing to go down? You're not willing to go down in humility. You have a really tough time getting saved. You need to humble yourself and realize you need a Savior. Now, this is a church that believes in living holy, but you can be as clean as a hound's tooth and die and go to hell. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you won't do that, you won't go to heaven. A just man falleth 7 times, and he rises up again. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.